Let us pray. Loving God, you have called forth disciples and prophets to live and speak your word. This morning, give us ears to hear, lives to respond, and voices to proclaim the good news of salvation, which we know in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what do we discover about Jesus and about ourselves in this transfiguration event? Three observations. Firstly, we learn something about identity. Identity. Primarily, this event, which is also recorded by Matthew and Luke, is about revelation. Jesus takes with him three of his closest friends, Peter, James, and John, and they withdraw from the crowds and journey up the mountain to pray. And similarly, we have entered this season of Lent, and Jesus leads us on an upward climb to a place of quiet prayer, reflection, closer communion. For that's what Lent is about. Sometimes we think it's about I must try harder. But really, it's about I must get closer. I want to get closer to Jesus. And when we make that upward climb, just when you climb a hill or a mountain, things begin to open up. Things look different, and you get a different perspective on life. You can see things with new vision. Peter, James, and John, and Jesus on the mountain. The mountain indicates that something special is about to happen, as it always did. For the mountaintop takes us back in time to the Old Testament, when Moses was commissioned on Mount Horeb. And the law was given to him on Mount Sinai. The mountain was the place of encounter with God. And now Peter, James, and John were about to encounter God in Jesus like never before. We're told that as they looked on, a change came over Jesus. And his clothes became shining white, whiter than anyone in the world could wash them. Can you picture what was happening in your mind's eye? Can you picture Jesus being transfigured, changed before them? What was happening? No explanation is given. But certainly here is a revelation of Jesus' full identity. One hymn writer, Michael Hewlett, describes how the disciples watched the wheels of nature stop and heaven break in. Their friend of every day, the face they knew for his, they saw for one half hour, the way he always is. The scene resonates with the book of Daniel. Daniel had a dream where he saw the glory of the Lord. The Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. Daniel 7, verse 9. A vision of the Lord, now witnessed again by Peter, James, and John. Here was a revelation, an unveiling of Jesus' true nature. Fully human, perfectly human, and fully divine. One commentator states that the real miracle was that during his time on earth, Jesus could keep from displaying his glory. That he could keep it hidden. Remember his teaching, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bucket to cover it, to shelter it. It is seen. Similarly, isn't it as amazing that Jesus could keep from displaying his glory so much? So here is Jesus' true identity. And the event looks forward. It anticipates Jesus' glorious resurrection, his resurrection body. We see the splendor of the King, the uncontained glory of his majesty, with the disciples as much as we are able to take in. Today, we see Jesus here in a different way. And when we do that, we can see ourselves in a different way. Our identity is wrapped up in his. The transfiguration shows us what will become of us. We are being perfected into his likeness. We are being changed from glory into glory. In heaven, our resurrection bodies shall perfectly mirror his glory. Remember those words of 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, where John writes, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What a promise. What a promise. The Bible word that Mark uses here, that's translated transfigure, is metamorphio. Metamorphio. The root word of our word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. Think of a caterpillar changing into a butterfly. A tadpole becoming a frog. Metamorphosis is about that hidden change at work. And that's true of us. The Holy Spirit is at work within our lives, moment by moment, day by day, as God's grace shapes us into the likeness of Jesus from the inside out. From the inside out. It takes a long time. We stumble. We fail. We despair at times of ourselves. But God is faithful and he will do it. And he is making us like Christ. When Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let's hold on to that promise as we continue that upward climb, that striving, that withdrawing to be close to Jesus this Lent. So So firstly, we learn something about identity. Secondly, we learn something about destiny. Destiny. I wonder if a part of Jesus, in that moment of transfiguration, wanted in that instant to return into heaven, to be with his heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. But he knew in his heart of hearts that he must descend down the mountain, down to the valley, down to the people, down to Jerusalem, down to the depths and the pain of Holy Week and Good Friday, and eventually to be laid down on the cross, to die, and down to stillness in the sealed tomb. Before they ascended the mountain, Jesus warned his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." This was his destiny. This moment of transfiguration not only shows us where Christ came from, but where he was going. Past, present, and future met in this moment. And then Mark tells us how those two greats from the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah, came and stood with Jesus. Moses representing the law, Elijah the prophets. Jesus fulfilled both. So Moses and Elijah spoke with Jesus. What did they talk about? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to know, to listen in? We can only wonder. But I'm sure they spoke of Jesus' departure. In fact, in Luke's account, he uses that word, departure. And it's the word exodus. Jesus' departure from this life, a second exodus. He would bring about a new deliverance for all of God's people from the powers of sin and slavery through the work of the cross. So this moment with Elijah and with Moses was the Father's gift to his Son to strengthen him spiritually for all that lay ahead. Because this dazzling Messiah on the mountaintop was also the suffering servant. And we are called to follow him, to walk with him along the road of self-denial. For our destiny is bound up in his. Jesus said to his disciples, again before they went to the mountain, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it." We walk the path of self-denial. A little of ourselves must die daily. Before the eternal glory, before the crown of victory, comes the crown of thorns. It's a hard teaching. It's a grown-up gospel, but it's the true gospel. we get a glimpse of our humanity in Luke's version when he said how they went up the mountain and became weary and tired. The climb had exhausted them. Jesus took them to pray, but they soon turned to sleep. Perhaps as we come here today, we are aware how we stumble. Perhaps we are tired of the upward climb. Perhaps we have neglected to pray. Jesus gently raises us, says, "Don't be afraid." He gives us new strength. We can awaken to his presence again today, to wake up to a new, brighter vision of God's glory and our destiny in him. To wake up to sin, to prayerfully see where we might have missed our way, to re-examine our lives, to evaluate our allegiances and affections, to reorder our priorities, to seek divine change in our human bad habits. And to the tired, Jesus says, "Come to me. Come aside. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We are called to arise and journey with him. In his destiny, we see our own. And thirdly and finally, we learn something here about duty. Duty to God and to our neighbor. The disciples' duty is clearly expressed in verse 7. A cloud appeared and covered them with its shadow, the presence of God. And a voice came from the cloud, "This is my own dear son. Listen to him." Listen to him. Words of the Father spoken over the Son at his baptism and now again on the mountain. Listen to him. Seeing isn't everything. We must listen. The disciples were slow to listen, slow to understand Jesus' teaching about his passion. They didn't want to hear any talk of rejection and death. They couldn't follow the map that Jesus had set out before them. They didn't understand. Peter wanted to stay on that mountaintop, to make the moment last as long as possible. And isn't there a part of us that wants to do that, to seek out those mountaintop experience of worship and wonder? Peter wanted to build shrines, tabernacles, and if it had been today, take a selfie to make it last. But their duty lay elsewhere, among the poor and the needy. And so they made their way back down the mountain, rejoining the other disciples and before them a huge crowd. Great demands. We're told that they brought to him a boy who was oppressed and in need of healing. The disciples proved powerless to help. So with exasperation and also compassion, Jesus stepped in, and by his word of authority, the boy was healed. He was transfigured. He was changed. The light and glory of Jesus overcame his darkness. This is the work of God in his life, It is the work of God that was in Billy Graham's life, as we've heard and seen. And it continues today in our lives and into the world through the church. Changing lives, metamorphosis, from the inside out, one by one. Transforming community by nurture and healing through faith in Jesus. That's why we're here today. That's why we will go out tomorrow into the week to be his witnesses. Tomorrow, we descend again to our duties and immerse ourselves in the ordinary things of life, returning to lives of helpful service, taking the towel and the bowl. Amid the busyness and the needs and the clamour for our attention, let us remember the scripture today. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen for his still small voice within us. Listen for his call to follow him and do his will. It is our duty and our joy. And whatever weather this week holds, however cold, however frosty, however snowy it might become, whatever grey the clouds might be, we go from here, each of us bathed in the light of God, each with a mirror to reflect that light and glory wherever we may go. We might think it's a broken mirror, but broken mirrors can do the same. They can reflect the glory of God, reflecting his glorious light and his love in our homes, in the workplace, in the marketplace. So in the transfiguration of Jesus, we've learnt something today about identity, destiny, and duty. May our identity, our destiny, and our duty be united to Christ for his glory. Amen. Let us pray as we reflect on God's word for us today. God our Father, we confess our sins to you. We have glimpsed your glory, but have chosen darkness rather than light. We have heard your voice calling us, but we have not listened. We have claimed to follow Jesus, but we have gone our own way. Father, forgive us, we pray. Help us to know that we are loved and forgiven, and to walk in the light of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.